God, I pray that as our nation expresses their gratitude to them this weekend, God, I pray that you would just bless each man and each woman. God, we've come today to worship you and to lift up your name on high. God, I pray that you would be with Brother Chris as he preaches to us. You've put a message upon his heart just for each one that is here today for this hour. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd have free reign and free course in our services today and in our hearts. My desire is, if there's one here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, God, I pray that their hearts would be open and they would come and accept you as Lord and Savior today. God, we're so grateful for all that you did for us. In Christ's name I pray.
Just as I
seat, and we'll have another word of prayer. We're so thankful, God, to be in your house this morning. We appreciate your blessings on our life. We thank you so much for the moisture that we've been receiving the last few weeks, Lord, and we pray that you'll just bless each and every farmer and rancher, Lord, help them to make the most of what you've provided. We all benefit from it, Lord, and we give thanks for it. Thank you for those who are here that have been invited this week by a church member or somebody that has given them an invitation to come to the house of God. I just pray that you'll bless them, help them to feel at home, help them, Lord God, to feel your love and the friendliness of our church. I pray, Lord God, that they'll find that they perhaps have a church home. And has already been prayed, perhaps there's somebody that doesn't know Jesus yet. And I pray, Father, that if that's the case, they would come to know him today. We ask, God, as we look into your word in just a few moments, that you would just open our hearts and our minds. Give us, Lord, a willingness, Lord, to be honest with ourselves and honest with you, to analyze our own hearts and our own attitudes and our own behavior. Lord, that we might make some corrections. Lord God, that we might leave here better servants of yours. I pray, Lord God, that you'll be with the children in the back, and we're grateful, God, for each one of them, even all the way down to the nursery, Lord. They're in the house of God, and I pray that you'll honor and bless every parent and grandparent that have brought them, and then bless their classes as well. Father, time won't allow more prayer, but we certainly have so much to be thankful for. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you'll turn in your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 5. This morning, I'm going to give you an analogy that I used a time or two over the years. I don't know how many times. I think it's a fairly effective way to communicate this message. It's a little different, so you'll have to indulge me this morning, but I think it could be very useful in helping us to see what God wants us to see this morning. It illustrates, first of all, what we see around us as we walk through this world. The fact of the matter is, every day you and I encounter people or pass by people who are broken or shattered. And let me just say, there's a difference in the two. There are broken people and there are shattered people. If something is broken, it's in a few pieces and could easily be put back together. If something is shattered, it's in many, many pieces, and it's much more difficult to put back together. Many of you remember some years back when I took a fall out of a tree and was injured, and the doctor explained it this way. He said, your pelvis is shattered, meaning that it was not just broken or fractured. It was in many pieces, and because of that, it took a lot of surgery, titanium strips and screws to fix it, several days in the hospital, and about 18 months of limping, and finally I was healed. You see, shattered was much more difficult to remedy than something that was just simply broken. So I say all that to say again, every day we encounter people who are broken or shattered, or we at least pass by them. And as Christians, people who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, we should care about that. That should be something we're concerned about. Back in the book of Genesis in chapter 4, if you'll remember when God asked Cain about his brother Abel, Cain, of course, arrogantly and kind of a smart mouth, he says, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Was his response to God. And you may be asking that question this morning. Am I my brother's keeper? Is somebody being broken? Is somebody being shattered my problem? Is that my responsibility? Is that my business? And the answer to that question is yes and no. No, in the sense that there are no human laws that require us to have concern for our neighbors. So in that sense, no. But yes, in the sense that God expects us as his children to be concerned about the well-being of our neighbors. So let me remind you of a nursery rhyme that we heard many times when we were kids. I'm quite sure. I don't know about, I haven't raised children in many years. I don't know whether they still tell this to their little children or not, but it's the one about Humpty Dumpty. We all know the story. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. Now, most of us know that rhyme. Its origins, as I did a little research or thought, to date back over 300 years. It's not found in our Bible, of course. It's not intended to communicate any kind of a profound moral truth, as far as we know. In fact, we really don't know what the original purpose was, other than to just be a silly children's rhyme. But yet, I think it can be very helpful for you and I today to come to terms with what is happening around us and on any given day as we walk through this world. First of all, there's a lot of brokenness on this planet. A lot of it. Humpty Dumpty, in this particular story, is in pieces. If we didn't know the rhyme, we hadn't read the story, we might just would pass by Humpty Dumpty and not have a clue what he had been through. We wouldn't know about his experience on the wall. We wouldn't know about the fact that he had fallen from there. All we would know is what we see, the broken pieces. Unless, of course, we cared enough to stop and inquire about him. Unless we took the time to engage him and let him tell us about it. Maybe all it would take would be a little pat on the shoulder, or maybe a slight embrace and a few kind words. Humpty Dumpty, what is your story? I'd really like to know. I'd like to hear about your life. I'm concerned about you. But you know what? We as Americans, American Christians, are just as busy as anyone else. Here's what we would likely do. Many people wouldn't even notice Humpty Dumpty. They wouldn't recognize his dilemma to start with. That we're so busy, we're running wide open, we're so concerned about ourselves that he probably wouldn't even show up on our radar. Or, as Americans, we might perhaps see his situation, but just keep right on moving because we don't want to get involved. Just go right on by. You're thinking, well, you know, it's too much work. I'm not up to it. It would take too much of my time. So we make an excuse for our indifference. Or I didn't stop because I had to get to so-and-so. I was on schedule. Or I didn't engage Humpty Dumpty because, you know, it's really kind of dangerous to deal with strangers that way. I don't need to make myself that vulnerable because you know how people are today. People are crazy. There's no telling what might happen. Or here's what might happen if one of today's politically charged Christians encountered Humpty Dumpty. They might take on the attitude, yeah, I see him, but what's his problem? What's he doing laying here? Probably drunk, huh? Probably on drugs. That's what's wrong with America right now, is this guy right here that's laying in pieces. You see, that kind of cynicism really doesn't help, does it? It offers no solution whatsoever. If the average 21st century Christian saw Humpty Dumpty laying in pieces, he probably wouldn't get any help. And his problem would likely be exacerbated by the discomfort that he feels of being gazed at by critical eyes of people who don't care enough to listen to his story. What is Humpty Dumpty's story? We don't know for sure because the rhyme doesn't tell us a lot about it. But let's consider a couple of possibilities here. Let's say his current situation is caused by no fault of his own. Maybe sitting on the wall was a perfectly reasonable practice by the people in his culture. There was no harm in being up there. He had done it thousands of times. He had sat on that wall. But something happened. Someone come along that day, that particular day, and they pushed him off the wall. Just a reckless act of meanness. He didn't have it coming. He wasn't looking for trouble, but trouble came to him, so Humpty Dumpty was pushed. And so a great fall was the result of that, and now his life is in pieces. You know, that's not uncommon in our world. For some young person to be broken because of what someone else did to them, maybe even somebody in their family, an adult. And so they're a broken young person, And they begin to age and they end up being a broken old person because they never found what was needed to repair what had been broken as a child. There are people all around us each day that are dysfunctional. They act out. They behave badly because some sort of abuse they experienced as a child. Verbal abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, neglect, abandonment, lack of security, lack of love as a child. And sadly, some very difficult things had happened to them, and it contributed to the way they are today. And it haunts them through their adult life. Now, folks, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that this is an excuse for doing wrong. I'm not saying that that gives us a pass to misbehave, because it doesn't. But I am saying that some lives are so shattered early on that it's almost impossible to put them back together, barring the power and the love and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. So that's a possibility. Humpty Dumpty might have been sitting on the wall, minding his own business, and someone in this world pushed him. There's a second possibility we can consider. Let's say it was all his fault. Let's say he did bring it on himself. Maybe the wall was off limits. Everyone knew it was wrong to sit on the wall, but Humpty Dumpty did it anyway. There's no excuse. He did it. He made a choice. But there's also no going back and changing that. Have you ever messed up? Of course you have. So have I. Who in here has not made a poor decision in their life? No one. There were a lot of things missing in my young life that really contributed or lent towards me making some really poor choices as a young person, especially a young man. There was not much structure to my life. There was very little accountability, especially when I got in my teens. There was almost no discipline. And all of these things made it easier for me to go out and do some really foolish things as a young person. I'd hate to think of having to be accountable for all of those things today. I was young. I was dumb. I was misguided. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto the man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 16:25. And if it were not for the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness of God through his Son Jesus Christ, I would still be on that path today. Only the problem is at this age, I'd hate to think about how far I might have sunk. You see, was I deserving of his forgiveness? No. Was I entitled to God's compassion? No. But he gave it to me anyway. Christians, we're steady losing sight of compassion. So Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. He took a great fall. He's in pieces. What are we going to do? Kick him while he's down? We're going to scatter the pieces and make it worse. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 and verse 32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Amen. That's where we need to be, people. That's what God's looking for in his children. That's what Humpty Dumpty needs more than anything. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will the Father forgive your trespasses. Friends, we are accountable to God for how we treat people who have failed, who have messed their lives up. Even if they brought the brokenness on themselves, we're responsible. Make no mistake about it. How we measure out compassion and mercy will determine the level of compassion and mercy we receive. The Bible says in Matthew 7:2, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. God says you'll be accountable in what you receive when you mess up. Now, let me make something very clear. From a positional standpoint, because we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are completely forgiven and we have received complete compassion from God. From that standpoint, okay, the slate is wiped clean regarding our sins, but from a practical standpoint, as we walk with God each day through this world, how God extends His blessings or withholds His blessings are in great degree in measure of how we have behaved. So if we've been unmerciful and had zero compassion for people around us, they're the problem, they're what's wrong with America, what are they doing here, all of this, if we do that, what's going to happen when we mess up? We can't expect God to abundantly measure out forbearance when we ourselves have fallen off the wall if we didn't measure out forbearance when we saw somebody else fall off the wall. Matthew 5:7 says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Now let's look at Humpty Dumpty's situation from another angle. Maybe he hasn't done wrong, per se. Being on the wall is perfectly acceptable behavior. Nothing bad about it. But there's some other life issues that he's struggling with. And they played a part in him finding himself broken the way he is. Perhaps Humpty Dumpty really needed to lose some weight. Perhaps, and maybe, he's been drinking too much. Maybe he's becoming more and more aware of those problems all the time, especially after that incident on the wall. But he's caught in a vicious cycle. It's the way the devil wants to get us. He wants to get us caught up in things that are not good for us and get us to the point that we can't fix it. We don't have the discipline and the control to fix it. We begin to feel guilty about that, and it drives us to more vice. In many ways, we're embarrassed about whatever it is that we're dependent upon to cope. And so we hide it. We make excuses for it. And then it becomes such a habit that we can't break it on our own. Maybe Humpty Dumpty had a drinking problem. Maybe Humpty Dumpty had a prescription drug problem, and that was his only coping mechanism. That's all he knows. I want to throw this in parenthetically, okay? It's free. I'm not going to charge you on this one. You all know where I stand on the dangers of alcohol. I don't speak in theory. I've had a front row seat. I've seen it, especially in my younger years. I've told you about the 5 generations in a row of downer men who lived with alcoholism. I've told you the variety of tragedies out of those 5 lives. I won't rehearse those things and bore you with the details again. And no, I do understand that the Bible does not say anywhere, "Thou shalt not drink alcohol." I understand that. But it does speak of the foolishness of it. And it does give multiple examples of the negative results that come from it. There's no shortage of beverages available to you and I. It's not like alcohol is our only option. So if you drink just because you want to, you drink just because that's just what I want to do, and you're a child of God and you know what the Bible says, according to scriptures, you're being a fool. Now, I'm not trying to be rude or intentionally be offensive. I'm just trying to bring you the truth, because here's what the Bible says. Wine is a mocker, Proverbs 20 and verse 1. It's raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Those are God's word. They're not mine. Proverbs 23 and verse 29 says, "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Then he answers the question he had already asked. They that tarry long at the wine, and they that seek mixed wine. You know what he's saying there? He's saying, do you want to have woe? You want to have sorrow? You want to have conflict in your life? You want to say stupid things? You want to have unnecessary injuries in your life? You want to be hung over with red eyes? Just keep on drinking. That's essentially what it's saying. Mark my word, friend, and I tell you this out of love, and I tell you this out of feelings of responsibility. You would be wise to stop right now before it turns into something that you can't easily stop. Anyone here who has a problem, you got a drinking problem, you got a prescription drug problem, you've got a marijuana problem, you realize you have the problem, deep down, you know that it's become something more than just casual. It's become something more than just social. It's an addiction and you can't seem to shake it. You're trying to hide it. You're trying to get past the people who love you the most. You're not fooling them. I tell you right now, as a friend and as a pastor, there's hope. There's a tremendous amount of hope. Jesus loves you. I love you. This church loves you. And I'm quite sure you've got a family that loves you. And there is a lot worse cases than yours that have been overcome. I have a son-in-law who, like most young men, started drinking with his buddies when he was younger, doing what he thought was fun. And over time, it became more than he intended for it to become. It became a problem. And it became a problem in his everyday life, his mood, his marriage, his human relations, his friendships, his business relations, his checkbook. It became a problem in many ways. Like always, nothing good comes of drinking. Cold beer never solved a problem. But like usual, it caused a lot of problems. So on his own, voluntarily, he got help through rehab. His recovery was more important to him than his pride. His family, his children, his wife were more important to him than what people would think. Since then, his family, his life in general, has reaped the rewards of that decision. That can happen to you. Friend, it's doable. There's help. And I do understand. My dad sat down with me one time. Many of you had met my dad. He died suddenly this last year of a heart attack. But my dad was very, very functional. He's an accountant. As far as everybody knew, and even me myself, I wasn't raised by him, so I'm not in his home all the time. I assumed that, you know, everything. And he sat down with me one day when we lived over here on Quaker when he was down visiting. He said, "Chris, I'm an alcoholic. You could have knocked me over with a feather." But he got help. He went to work every day. He had a nice house. He and his wife got along well. Everything seemed fine, but his coping mechanism was to get drunk till he passed out every night. I didn't even know that. There's help. I can't spend more time on this. We're gonna try to get this whole load in the barn and go to the house, okay? Humpty Dumpty, for whatever reason, was broken. His life was in pieces, regardless of what the cause was. There's no reason for us to continue to analyze any further. His situation is a picture of many people around us at any given time. The question I want to ask you is, what are we going to do about it? Let me remind you how the rhyme concludes. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. I don't know whether you are aware of it or not, but we had an election this last week. America was pretty decisive on the direction that they want our nation to go. So come this January, there's going to be a lot of changes come January the 20th. We have a president that was already been president for 4 years. He has some experience. We understand, we know him well enough to know that we're going to have to put up with a lot of mouth in order to enjoy his policies. Something I'm willing to do anyway. But here's the deal. All the king's horses and all the king's men can't fix the broken lives of individuals around us. I don't care who controls the House or who controls the Senate, who occupies the White House, and as much as I appreciate this current Supreme Court and their decisions, neither can they put lives back together again. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can do that. Luke 4:18, Jesus says, He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. That's what He wants to do. That's His mission. And that's what He will do. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, For no other foundation can be laid than that which is laid in Jesus Christ. You and I are already children of God, or I certainly hope so this morning. If you're not, we really would like to help you understand what it means to become a child of God. But if we're already children of God, we are the feet and the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. We are the ones who can show broken people the love of God. This is not a time for you and I to grow hard. It's not a time for you and I to succumb to the hatred that's being spread by both sides. It's a time for you and I to be big-hearted and have helping hands. It's a time for compassion and mercy. It's a time to stop and show our concern for those around us who may be broken. It's not our job to analyze the wall to determine if it's safe or not. It's not our job to rant and rave about Humpty's faults and what brought him to the place he is. It's not our time to get on a soapbox about falls in general and what's causing them. It's not a time to push legislation to prevent wall setting in the future. It's a time to stop and hear the story of the broken people and offer them the only tried and true remedy for brokenness, which is Jesus Christ. I'm convinced that when we go before the Lord and we give answer for our lives, and possibly, we don't know what questions we might be asked, but possibly God asks us what we did for those in need, what we did for those in hurt that were hurting or shattered, and we began to tell him we did this or that or the other. And I don't think the next question is going to be, well, were they Republican or Democrat? He's not going to say that. He's not going to ask that. I am so tired of the divisions we have in our country. One half wants it one way, the other half wants it the other, and democracy has provided us the ability to express whichever one we want, and that's a great thing. We can do it by voting. And yes, we have freedom of speech in this country, but we also have a God that gave us sense enough to not say certain things to hurt people. The other side, whichever side you may be on, the opposite side is not somehow less worthy or unimportant or less deserving or more deserving of our care and concern. The only agenda that we should be pushing, Now, don't misunderstand me. If you're in support of an administration, that's fine. It's perfectly natural as an American, okay? And I am, too, in support of administration. But the only agenda that you and I as children of God should be passionate about pushing wholeheartedly is the agenda that this Bible lays out for us. I leave you with these words. And you said, when are we going to get to our text? Now we're at our text, Matthew chapter 25. And I'll read it and I'll be done. Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, and thirsty and gave thee drink, and a stranger and visited thee, and naked and clothed thee? And when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? Watch this. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it to one of these least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. That's my agenda, friends. That's the one I want to push. It's not left wing. It's not right wing. It's right where it needs to be. It's truth, right in the middle. I'm going to ask you guys to come, and I'll ask the rest of you to stand. I want to challenge you with this right now, and I hope you understand where this is coming from. Great many of us are elated about the election, okay? We never want to allow that or any other election or any other particular issue. Now, I will tell you this. If we're talking about killing unborn babies, I want to talk about it, okay? We're talking about lifestyles that God is totally opposed to. I will talk about it. But other than being able to, you can approach those issues with the Bible. But other than that, we're doing far more important things around here as a family of God. Spiritual things, eternal things. Far more important than creating a situation over politics that would hinder a brother or sister in Christ, or hinder a person that does not yet know Christ, hinder them from coming to know Christ. I know I don't have to tell you. You guys are all mature adults, and you understand that. But let's keep our church. Let's be a shining light. You can be totally whichever side of the aisle you're on. You can be that, and that's your personal decision. But let's keep the spiritual business of our church as priority, okay? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. God's spoken to you. Come.